Do you ever find yourself saying the words, "What's the world coming to?" In my house, we've gotten into a bad habit, which is on the days when I don't have to get up early to go to work at the care home, we usually begin the day sitting in bed and scrolling through our Facebook news feeds. It's a surefire recipe for getting angry about at least 10 different things before breakfast. Oh my word, what has Boris Johnson said now? Look at all those people crowding onto that beach. What were they thinking? Ugh, look at this, all the litter that's been left behind in Port Meadow. A cow has died after eating the plastic, and more cows and horses have injuries from broken glass. And don't even get me started on Donald Trump's latest tweet. Sometimes I despair of humanity. It might be different things that press your buttons, but perhaps you recognise that feeling. And our reading from Matthew's Gospel seems to begin on a similar note of frustration. Jesus saying, "To what will I compare this generation?" In the verses immediately before today's reading, Jesus is speaking of the law and the prophets, Elijah and John the Baptist. He says, "Let anyone with ears listen." But now he describes how this generation refused to listen. They're always looking for some grounds to ignore the message. They dismiss John the Baptist as a weirdo for his strange, austere lifestyle. They say he has a demon. Jesus, on the other hand, enjoys his food and turns water into wine and is not too fussy about who he shares a table with. And they dismiss him too. They say he's a glutton and a drunkard who keeps the wrong kind of company. You can't do right for doing wrong with these people. You can't get through to them. They don't like the message, so they discredit the messenger. The lectionary then skips over some verses, some uncomfortable verses, where Jesus lists the towns where his call to repentance has been rejected. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida, and you, Capernaum!" And times haven't changed all that much, because it seems like humanity is still careering towards self-destruction. We just keep right on hurting and abusing this planet that's our only home. We just keep on devising and building weapons to destroy life. We just keep on doing the things that harm us, the things that we know are bad for us, for our bodies and for our souls. I don't know why, but we do. What is the world coming to? Sometimes I despair of humanity. But God doesn't. And here is where the good news, the wonderful news, shines out of our scripture readings today. God doesn't despair of humanity. We hear in that beautiful psalm, Psalm 145, that God has compassion on all that God has made. We hear it in the gospel reading of God's perseverance with humanity in sending the law and prophets of all shapes and sizes and sending Jesus. And Jesus doesn't despair of humanity. He sees reason for hope. Some people get it. And guess what? It's not the wise and intelligent. It's the young. Maybe because the young still believe in the possibility of changing the world. Jesus looks at his stubborn generation and has compassion for them. Even after expressing his frustration, he keeps on inviting, "Come to me, you who are weary with the way things are, you who are weary in your souls. Come to me and I'll give you rest." When Jesus speaks of his yoke, it may be that he's making a comparison with the yoke laid on the poor and powerless exploiting their labours. When Jesus refers to heavy burdens, it may be that he's referring to the burdensome rules the scribes and Pharisees promote. In Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus says of the scribes and Pharisees, they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others. Throughout history, organized religion has, at times, peddled images of God as punitive and petty and wrathful or siding with the powerful. The legacy of this bad theology lingers and still has the power to distort our faith. But Psalm 145 reminds us and re-centers us. It's a prayer of praise, but it's also a statement of faith. Faith that God isn't like that at all. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. God upholds the falling and lifts up all who are bowed down. And Jesus reminds us too, I am gentle and humble in heart. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. For myself, I know that sometimes I resist God's call because I forget what God is like. My prayer life or lack of prayer life can become a vicious cycle. The longer I leave it, the more guilty I feel and the less able to approach. I'm forgetting the relief, the rest that comes when I finally get there. The grace that washes over me as I lean into love. Love that was there all along. I don't know what the world is coming to, but I know that God's not giving up on it or on us. Jesus's words also remind us of the value of rest. And rest has been built into God's plans for the earth from the outset. We hear in Genesis about how God rested on the seventh day of creation. God taught his people that rest is holy by instituting the Sabbath. Old Testament law also ordained that every 7 years the land should be rested from farming. And every 50 years was a Jubilee year, a whole year dedicated to rest and restoration. Whatever else the COVID-19 pandemic has brought, we know that it has bought the earth a bit of recovery time. Carbon emissions have been way down during lockdown. It has brought rest for many of us too, as life has taken on a slower pace and we've been forced to live more simply and more locally than before. I hope it will be a wake-up call, a chance to repent, to build back better. But however much we continue to mess up, for ourselves or for others, God's invitation to us remains open. An invitation into the freedom and transformation of grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.